Well, it was a very strong call from God, confirmed by the church back in 1965, that was. Yeah, it was a very strong thing in my life that I wanted to serve as a minister of the church. And happily, I was accepted by the Congregational Church. I did my 6 years of training and then was ordained in 1972. It was strong enough, Andrew, that I can still feel it. You know, I've still got it. And I'm very pleased to think that it's lasted all this time.
Are you an anti-authoritarian who couldn't fit in to a structure like the Catholic or the Anglican churches with their episcopal authority?
Well, there's a bit of that in it. I think the church you belong to is often accidental. You live near something, or your mother went somewhere or something like that is fairly accidental. But I do think the independent nature of the Congregational Church suited my personality. I probably could have been a Presbyterian or a Methodist, perhaps just as easily, or even an Anglican. But certainly I'm not a person who has a great deal of reverence for authority, and Congregationalism fitted that idea best.
There's been a very strong political strain to your ministry. Is this a replacement maybe for someone who also thought of a political life?
Well, I did join the Labour Party when I was 17, I think, pretty young. My parents were quite amazed that I joined the Labour Party. And
why, were they conservative?
No, but they just thought it was unusual. And that would have been in the early 1960s, just after I left high school. And I belonged to the Monterey branch of the Australian Labour Party. But I gave it up later, mainly because I've realised that you had to make a choice. And I think a minister who's in a political party is got all sorts of problems. It's hard to speak about political and social issues if you're a member of a political party.
Who are your theological heroes and role models?
Well, there's one in particular, that's Reinhold Niebuhr. I didn't know much about Reinhold Niebuhr till 1973, and I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to go to Yale Divinity School, Yale University, and there I started to read all about Reinhold Niebuhr. Reinhold had been a professor at Union Seminary in New York, but his writings attracted me greatly. He was in the school of theological realism, it was called, and that suited me very much.
And he had a famous prayer, the Serenity Prayer.
That's right.
What's the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
That's a great prayer for someone who's involved in politics, isn't it? I mean, isn't it a kind of guiding missile for...
Well, I think it is. And Niebuhr himself was a very political man. He engaged with politics. I think he's one of the few theologians to get on the cover of Time magazine, and was very engaged in American politics and America's world politics.
Going back to his Serenity Prayer, though, that seems to me to suggest that clergymen must know the limits and the realistic limits on what politicians can achieve. Do you recognise that as a clergyman, or are you, as some of your critics say, a man with pie-in-the-sky ideas, think we can solve every human frailty through politics?
I'm enough of a political animal to understand that sometimes governments are in a position where they can't change things.
What is your view of the body politic in Australia?
One thing that Kevin Rudd said that I agree with, that is climate change is a pretty serious issue, great moral issue, and we need to deal with it. It's disappointing, I think, across Australia now to see. We had some momentum on that, and then we lost it. In hindsight, the Greens will be, I think, pretty badly criticised for their decision not to support Kevin's trading scheme at the time. And a lot of things might have been different had they done that.